Welcome back to another episode of the Chats with Clark podcast. I'm your host, Joe Clark, and here at Chats with Clark, we don't do poppy intros. We get straight to the point. And the point today is one of the most friendly, outgoing, great people you're going to meet, Irene Nakera. Irene goes by E. So E, how are you?
Good, man. Good, man. Happy Friday, Junior.
Happy Friday, Junior.
Yeah.
E, I'm glad that we can make this happen. I'm glad that you're here. You're a just real vibrant guy. I'm excited to, as the words that you chose, chop it up with you.
Oh, yeah. I love chopping it up. I'm excited.
E, thanks again. Give us a little bit of background about who you are, kind of where you're from, and just like give us who you are a little bit.
All right. So I'll start way back. So I was born in Rwanda, 1998, year of the tiger, according to the Zodiacs, Chinese Zodiacs. And then I lived there for about 6-7 years. Then I moved to the States when I was around, it was like 2006, 2007. Was lucky enough to be raised in the great city of Buffalo, New York. I moved in around winter time. So it was a shock for me because I never experienced winter, you know, coming from living near the equator. So all you get is just rain and heat, but got a nice little experience of that. So I was raised there, mother, father, three sisters. So looking up to the full family. And then after that, was lucky enough to go to a Jesuit high school. So I went to an all-boys Jesuit high school, you know, taught me my ideals and the way that I am the way that I am. And then after that, lucky enough to go to the same alma mater as Joe right here, John Kerr University, as they call it, the Harvard of the Northeast. So did that, studied finance, they say, wealth right. Management. And then, finance, whatever. They say you finance a car, but you study finance, which whatever, you know, John Carroll. And then after that, graduated online during the middle of COVID. Everyone thinks it was kind of bad, but I honestly had a great time spending. It was like, I mean, you get classes in the morning, you know, online, but you were just stuck at college house with all your buddies. It was like a long-term spring break basically for us.
So yeah, true enough.
It was pretty good. Yeah. Yeah. And then after that, got my first job doing wealth management in Akron. And after that, I got my second job downtown Cleveland doing wealth management for high net worth individuals and private estates. And then now I do consulting, risk advisory. So full circle in finance, doing well, living downtown, living the convenient life. So I don't drive as much. I told you earlier, like I just go to the gym downtown. I could go shopping at Heinen, so I just walk everywhere. My car has been in the garage for like weeks, so it's dusty. But, you know, saving the earth one step at a time.
There you go. That's awesome. Yeah. When you take those trips back to Buffalo, then the 706
will be heavy. You're just going to try to go like once a month. But speaking of, I went home for Christmas, well, obviously, you know, and then we had that wild storm.
Oh, yeah. You got that? Like feet. Yeah, absolutely. The game got moved in the hole.
Yeah. It's crazy. So I got home like Thursday morning, I think it was the 22nd. And then it was like a flash freeze that night. So it was freezing and it was slippery everywhere. And then like Friday morning started snowing, but it was like snowing sideways because we had like 60 mile an hour winds.
Wow.
So it was snowing heavy, but it was going like all over the place. Friday afternoon, we had about like 2 feet all over my street. And then these like snow drifts were starting to pile up. So in the middle of my street and the end of my street, we had like 4 to 6 feet of snow. So it was like 4 feet, then 6, 4 feet, and then 6.
My gosh. And it's like stairs of snow. That's insane.
Yeah, literally. And then like my neighbor's car was like, you could see his antenna. That was it. His car was just mounted in. Yeah.
It's so hard to believe.
And then like, I know, it's crazy. I couldn't believe it. So what the county did was, they had a driving ban, so no one could go anywhere. So we were stuck at home until like December 28th, 29th. But we lost power for like 2 days. And it really like showed me like how much I rely on technology. Like I was like, what am I going to do all day? We ate breakfast, had lunch. And by the time it was like 5 o'clock, it was like dark out. Mm-hmm. But we had no power, so we put candles on. And I'm like, well, what am I going to do? And go back to bed. So that's what I did. But like in like 3 layers of clothing.
Yeah, because it's freezing.
So it was like a real interesting experience. And you should have seen my face when the party came out. Oh my God. I was like, thank you.
Delighted. That's so
Taking a
wild,
hot
dude.
shower. And it was wild, dude. I couldn't believe it. But I made it out, you know, grateful for that. So it was all
Yeah, what
good.
an interesting experience. And so, just kind of speaking on that term and just with the interesting experiences, you had mentioned that you grew up in Rwanda, lived there until you were 6 or 7. Walk us through that. What was that like? Why'd you guys decide to come as a family? Because there's a lot of you. I mean, between the three sisters, you and are you the youngest, D?
No, I'm the third, so it's two
Third.
older, one younger.
Got it. Okay. And so then all six of you come over to the States. And of course, and we'll pick it up after that in a little bit. But walk us through that. What was life like? How was it?
First of all, I'm a big fan. My mom's one of 10 and my dad's one of
Whoa.
12.
Whoa. A lot of cousins then?
So a big, yeah, too many. Some I don't even know, so my it was good. Like the funny story is my mom, so she when she was young, she was really independent. I want to live my life, I want to do this, I want to accomplish certain goals. My dad was very traditional. Oh, I want to marry, my mom. And he asked my mom for her hand. She said no. Then he asked her again. She said no.
Oh my
So
God.
third time's a charm. So third time's a charm. And they got married around 1993. Then they had my oldest sister, 1994. But before she was born, there was the Rwanda genocide, which lasted for 100 days. So my mom and dad were trying to escape that, and they did. Went to a nearby country, Uganda. We lived there for about, well, I wasn't born, but a year they lived there, and then they moved back after everything was over. So, and
My
then we
gosh.
lived. I was born, and then my sister was born, and then my mom was like, she is a physical therapist and massage therapist, and my dad, he used to do real estate and metal manufacturing. And then we moved to the States because they both had opportunities to work here. So we got to there. But childhood-wise, it was nice. Big family. Weather was nice. It was kind of nice, like having your whole family like all in one place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like Rwanda is known for its like nature, so it's called the Land of a Thousand Hills because it's so
Wow.
hilly. Because like we lived on the hill, but in order for us to go see it, because we go like this and like
Yeah.
that. So it's a beautiful place, and we go like try to go like once a year, the whole family and I. So you go back, see family, get a little vacation. Usually for like a month, because travel is like 20 hours plus just to get there. So
Holy
you
cow.
can't do like a
Yeah.
week.
That's incredible. So you have a lot of your cousins, and I mean, your mom and dad have a ton of siblings that are still there then.
A
And
lot.
did anyone move when they moved to Uganda? Did any of them move as well?
Some moved to the States like Texas, some went to Belgium, some went to France. So yeah, a lot of them moved. We're the ones that moved back and then moved again. So, but
Yeah.
some decided, but some after a while, because my mom's like the third oldest, and my dad was like the fifth oldest. So some of the siblings, my aunts and uncles, moved back to Rwanda. So
Man, how do your parents
they all
describe that? They have to
moving.
have some, yeah, a lot of moving.
My mom, I don't know, she's kind of tough, but and she kind of it's kind of sensitive subject for her. But she said, it was a wild experience. I mean, she was kind of scared. She's running for her life, you know. And like the
Honest.
thing was, it was based on, you know, so old history. So it was the colonizers. It was Belgium and France who colonized Rwanda, and they split people by two groups, Hutu and Tutsi. So Hutu were had certain facial features and that were put in one group, and then Tutsi was the same, different features put in one group, and Tutsis were kind of they're put it ahead like in the heads of government,
Okay.
so they had higher positions, so like that way like the seed of like dissent and hatred was born that way. And the one spark was the president at that time was Hutu, and his plane was shot down. No one really knows what happened, but that was a big spark. Hutu said, oh, Tutsis killed the president, you have to get our revenge. And then that's what started. And one cool thing about the genocide is there's two brothers, two Jewish brothers. They started putting museums and history museums about genocides all over the country. So like the Holocaust, Rwandan genocide. And there's one that happened in Vietnam, I think, right? Or Cambodia, one of those. But there's
I think it's
museums all over the
Cambodia.
country about different genocides. So I had the pleasure of going to the museums and seeing kind of like the history and how things started to like the descent and everything. But mom and dad, like they, I mean, it was fighting for your life. Like, and some of your neighbors who were friends with you, wanted to kill you. So
How
there's that.
wild. Yeah, so
I
it's the
know.
sense of division that it's very interesting. I mean, it's almost like our own civil war, not to compare two things, but like in the sense of you have two people that 5 minutes ago were all good in the scheme of history. 5 minutes ago were all good and loved each other and were great friends. And then you're mentioning wanting to kill each other over something artificially crafted by people unrelated to the incident.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating dichotomy there.
It's honestly insane. Insane. Like just going through the whole experience. It's life changing. It also can have some trauma, but
For sure.
like my mom, she doesn't talk about it as much, but after years and years, she's opened up a little more about it, kind of explaining like certain things that happened to her. And like the movie, you ever heard the movie Rwanda, what is it called again? Hotel Rwanda.
I've not.
Yeah, it's a movie that kind of depicts the genocide, and the hotel in that movie is still to this day in Rwanda. Yeah, so it's kind of crazy, but
I'll have to check
that's a
that
really good
out.
description of what happened. Yeah, it's a
Yeah.
good, well, it's a good movie kind of script. It shows a nice story about how everything goes, but it's crazy. It can be a
Man,
little
you're
gory, but
sure. Yeah, your parents are warriors, man. Like what? They're heroes. Like that's incredible that they, because they sound fantastic. And anytime that you've described them through our time just knowing each other, like quite affectionately that you've are the ways that you described them. So for them to have such a major occurrence in their background like that, where they were hunted, like you said, like they were being targeted and running for their lives is just, it's just amazing that they're as the way they are.
I'm lucky enough to have had two great parents, so I was blessed for that, honestly.
Yeah. And does your, because your oldest sister was then just a baby, right? So she was born
She was born after, yeah. So
after.
it lasted for 100 days, and I
Right.
think it ended around June or April. And then my sister was born September. So mom
Okay.
was pregnant with my oldest sister during the whole genocide.
What a time. My
Yeah.
God. Okay, so that all happens, then you decide you're as a family, you're all moving, both your parents pick up work here, and then you start life in the 716.
Oh yeah, Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Sabres, Buffalo Wings.
How was that experience for you? You shifted from, as you already mentioned, like different climates and that kind of thing, but your family had gone through a lot and you guys had grown as a family. And then you were young. So, I mean, 6 and 7, like, do you remember the transition and what that was like for you?
Yeah, it was definitely a learning curve for sure. So like obviously I didn't speak English, so I was in second or third grade when I first got in. So I was learning the criteria that I had to learn in second grade, but also taking ESL classes at the same time. So, and then my mom at home, she was speaking English so that we could catch up, learn more. And in that way, I kind of forgot my native language because we were trying to assimilate more into the American culture. So
Right.
I forgot that, but kind of like going from one culture to the other is like, shocking, but I had to, it was like forced upon me to kind of like, catch up. So that was like shocking for me. But like my older sisters, like they were able to because they were older. Their minds were more developed, so like they were able to like kind of adjust easier. But for me and my younger sister, it was difficult because we knew one life and that was it. So kind of switching from one to another, like that, so we had to adjust real quickly. I'd say it probably took us about a year and a half for us to speak English like proficiently, but once we did, we did. And then we were kind of just cruising, once you just get in the groove of life. That's what it is. But my mom always wanted us to be aware of our history, so we'd always go back to Rwanda. Like, this is who
Okay,
you
good.
were, this is who you are. So
Yeah.
don't forget this.
And now you had mentioned that you don't remember the native language.
No, like I lost. I know, like if you drop me Rwanda, I can get myself around, but like not
Okay.
fluent at all.
That's so fascinating how that goes, just from not having practiced it.
And it's, my mom always gets mad because she's like, "Oh, I should have spoken more at home. That way you guys can remember both." But, you know, she wanted us to learn as fast as we could. So, and then we had a babysitter who like just taught us some like English here and now and then, like, oh, like blah, blah, blah. Like, I remember my babysitter taught me like the first couple months how to read a clock, you know, and stuff like, you know, money, like
Yeah.
a dime, a nickel, you know, 150, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of funny.
That is, no, all those small little things you don't even think about. It's like you're teaching, you know, stuff like some fundamental stuff, really.
Like she would always quiz us like presidents and all that stuff. So
Oh, wow. You sound like you have a
a
great
lot of
babysitter.
learning.
I mean, she wanted you
Yeah,
guys to be ready to go, I guess.
she's a teacher actually. Yeah, she
It
used to teach
sounds like
like
it.
third or fourth grade, so
She was
it's
prepping.
kind of
You guys
funny.
were her student teaching assignments.
Exactly. So we're just learning, constantly learning.
What are some of your favorite parts of the culture that you celebrate as a family?
So at home, my mom was raised on a farm, so we love going to the farmer's market. My mom loves getting, you know, ingredients like fresh. Like she hates shopping, you know, like grocery stores stuff, you know, because all the preservatives and all that stuff. But she loves going to farmer's market, and so we love going to like getting ingredients from the source. So she loves getting fresh ingredients, materials, and all that stuff, and always taught us, you know, like all this crap, as she says, you know, is not good for your body. So we like doing that. And then even like certain cultures, like mom's very traditional, so she likes things a certain way. And that's one thing that hasn't changed about her coming from like living in the US, you know, she's always been that way and she always will be. So kind of forcing us to be like her, you know. Which is a good thing, you know, trying to be respectful, being traditional, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, having
But we
high
are not allowed to
expectations
curse
and
at all at home. Yeah.
that's
You know.
beautiful. Yeah. 'Cause she knows she wants the best. She wants the best for you.
She's like a drill sergeant. That's what I would say.
Does she agree?
She would. She would.
She would. Okay, so she knows. She knows. So when she listens to this, when you send it to her, or she finds it or whatever, it's she's not gonna be shocked in your viewpoint.
No, but she'll like me to butter up a little more, which I probably should.
Would you like the opportunity to do so?
I'm already too deep.
That's so great. All
No,
right, so
she's great.
oh yeah, no,
She's
I'm
great.
just messing with you.
Yeah.
So you get all this fresh food. Did you have some favorite dishes that your mom makes?
Yeah, so what's this? So it's called sambusa, but it's like it's very popular in other Latin cultures. It's like a tortilla, like in a triangle shape,
Okay.
filled with like meat. What's it? There's another name for it that's Latin, but it's like a you get a tortilla, you fry it with meat inside. It's delicious. It's like a really nice little snack. And
It's
then
like an
one thing that's
empanada.
kind of like a bar.
Is that what it is, or is it just similar? Is it?
It's similar but it's a different name. You know, everyone has the
Yeah, it's
same thing,
different.
just like their own names.
Yeah, no, yeah. I was just curious.
And then my favorite thing is she makes this like dough, not dough. You know, cassava plant.
No.
Cassava. So it's a plant, and you like the plant. You put it in a powder, and then when you put it in water, it gets like hard and it
Okay.
fluffs up like a bread, like bread. But you can eat it. I don't know the best way. It's like hard mashed potatoes, but soft on the inside. You
Oh,
know
sounds
what I'm saying?
great. Yeah, I do.
So, and then it comes with like my mom makes this peanut butter sauce. And it's delicious. Just
Oh my
like
God,
you get
yeah.
the sauce with this, with the dough, and then you eat it. It's perfect.
And what's that one called?
It's awesome, but it's so the sauce, I don't know what it is
That's okay.
in Rwandan, but Gitochi and come into me. It'll come to me later. I'll scream it out, but
Yeah,
I
I'll be
forgot the
ready for the
name.
random
Yeah.
interjection.
Yeah, exactly. But
That's
yeah, and
great.
then one of my favorite things is whenever I go to a bar in Rwanda, they have roasted like beans
Okay.
or nuts, ro roasted nuts. It's like a little bar food. You know, they have like nuts in the bar or whatever, but they roasted them and put a little salt on them. It's like a little platter you get at a bar and just snack on it when you get a drink.
Oh man, that sounds
Yeah.
great. I love hearing about all the
Oh,
different
it's
cultures and like what. Like the I feel like food is just such a pivotal one. You know, like food, music, like the entertainment. I think all those three are tend to be big things that we hold affectionately towards our culture and that we find innately fascinating about other cultures because I feel like everyone can relate to all those things. You know, who doesn't like music? Who doesn't love food? Who doesn't love being entertained and doing things with their family, their friends, like all those things. And that's how I feel like we discover the history of the world around us. It's one of my favorite things just about the podcast, E, is like you get to talk to people who have come from ever under the sun and have done a million and one things and just grow in that bond with them and learn more about who they are and learn more about all the different places that they've touched.
Yeah, exactly. And especially me and you went to Jamaica together, great experience.
It was. And now that you've
Yeah.
given us that nod, let's dive into that a little bit, E. So it was January of 20, right? Yeah, January of 2020, E and I went on an immersion trip to Jamaica in Mandeville. And two ladies, Nikki and Kat, were also on the podcast a couple months ago. It's been a while. And they did a fantastic job highlighting the trip because they spent the entire year down there. And so we went down. E and a group of us from John Carroll went down and spent, I don't know what, about 12 days, 10 to 12 days, somewhere in there, maybe 10 days, in again Mandeville, Jamaica, and really just kind of, as it sounds, immersed ourselves, dove into the culture, and lived amongst the people of Jamaica for that duration and really experienced the life down there, I would say. How was that experience for you? Would you take from it? What are some of the high points that you remember?
Real quick break. It was called Ugali. That's what it was called.
There it is.
Cave
Okay.
Gala, yeah, there it is. There it is. So remember how we were all split up into like different groups and we all had
Absolutely.
like different activities? I
Yeah.
think my first one was we did a lot of home visits. So we'd walk, so we get dropped off near a neighborhood and then we'd walk, say hi to people. And these people like, were less unfortunate than we were. But they were so welcoming, like so genuine. Oh, like come inside my house. Do you need anything? Can I get you anything? Oh, like this is my family. Come say hi. And it was kind of nice, seeing people being, that welcoming. I think we were complete strangers to them. We're just walking
Yeah.
around. Yeah, come inside, say whatever. And then, because like people in America, we can come off a bit rude. We all like tunnel vision.
Heck
I
yeah.
gotta do this and do this. So
So
that was
true.
refreshing. It was refreshing. And then the second thing we did, we went to go visit like a nurse, not a nurse, like a clinic. So we saw a lot of older individuals who had some disabilities, whether that be physical or mental, and just seeing. And all they wanted us to do was just to read a passage about the Bible, and that's all they needed. That's
Yeah.
all they wanted me to do. So I it was nothing for me to do that, but for them it was something that they needed, something like that made them happy. So I was more than enough to do that. I remember I was reading something and this lady grabs like my hand when I'm doing it. And she's like, thank you so much for doing this. I'm like, no problem. Like, this is the least I could do. Like,
Yeah.
I'm not, and I was like, I felt like, wow, just one small ask can make someone smile. So kind of shows you there's not a lot you need to do in order to make someone's day.
True enough, right? Yeah,
But
you're just praying with someone in that case.
So just having that ability to be present, just being there for them. That was a big, I think, big thing I took away from the trip.
It was so good. Yeah, they, meaning the Jamaican people, really embody that. They embody being present. They embody recognizing and finding the humanity in every person and really uplifting people, in my opinion. Like, there's a lot of tough things. There's not a lot of resources for a lot of primary help, really, like you were saying, when someone gets sick in certain cases. So it's tough, but as he's describing, just hearing those joyful expressions that everyone was saying all the time was so touching.
Yeah, it was awesome. And remember we went to Mass during Easter,
Absolutely.
right? Yeah, that was amazing. Like just how vibrant it was. Everyone's, just there to have a good time.
That's exactly what I remember too. It was like party vibes. Like, everyone was just happy, dancing, singing. I mean, it was, yeah, the energy was through the roof.
It was a lot of trick.
It wasn't.
Oh, it was during Easter. It was January. It wasn't
during
math.
Easter, whoops. But yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. Whoa, come on. You're an actor. But
no,
yeah,
that
was
incredible.
Awesome. And then we had that nice place we were staying at, like, got to see the sunset, the
My
sunrise.
God.
That was good that we kept doing that, breaking up early to
So
see the sun.
beautiful. So
Gorgeous.
beautiful. Yeah. I remember eating the guava jelly. Do you remember the guava jelly?
Yeah, I remember that. What'd you think?
Delicious. It stuck with me. I don't know why I loved it so much. I mean, it tasted fantastically, but I'm not a jelly guy, so it was surprising for me to love it, and I thought it was delicious.
So good. You know, my mom does makes that actually, but not guava. She makes like churro and strawberry jelly.
I mean, that has to be amazing. I don't
Yeah,
know. Like, it's got to be. I
it's
don't know. I've only
amazing.
had like Smuckers or whatever. All natural
Yeah.
Smuckers. God knows what's in there, but.
Yeah. I mean, the food there is just so good. I mean, like the kitchen that made us breakfast and stuff and delicious.
Delicious. Yeah, incredible. The
So
experience
good.
is
Yeah.
fantastic. What's like when you came back? Or when we came, I mean, we came back, but when you came back, do you remember like that assimilation back into life after even just that short time? Like we said, it was like 10 or 12 days or something like that. Remember that
It
transition?
felt, yeah, it like when I was there, it felt like more like I didn't really have, it's not a good way to explain it. I didn't have a responsibility, you know, like I know, like I was just like, you know, doing stuff, but it was like meaningful stuff. But when we came back to the States, like, you know, flying back, I just kept thinking about like all the things that I need to do, study, get work, send my resumes, apply for jobs, you know, do all that stuff, just like start weighing on me, because
Right.
that's how life is. You got things you need to do and those things need to be done. But while we were there, like I wasn't thinking about those at all,
No.
you know?
Yeah, for sure. It is. It's so fascinating too that you can just be in an environment that does that. Like you can just be so present as you talked and just completely let yourself be taken over by it.
I mean, even remember the photo of us in the YMCA?
Absolutely.
That was great. We're just, you know, just having fun, just enjoying being there, you know? Just
Yes.
enjoying what we're doing, yeah.
There was like a group of us, as he's describing, and we were kind of just hanging out one day, basically. And where we were staying is, he also had mentioned, is beautiful. And the view was, you could see all the mountains. So Jamaica is very mountainous and there's a lot of hills as well. And I feel like it's often depicted in our minds as just sandy beaches, which of course they have on the coast, but on the island and where we were staying was very hilly. And so, anyway, we were hanging out the one day. I think it was after lunch. Regardless, the group of us guys were just messing around. We were taking photos and we were jumping in the air doing the YMCA and just trying to get it all in unison so that we could all jump. And within that last like second and a half or whatever, get the YMCA in there. Those pictures are great.
Yeah, we had a lot of good pictures. That was nice. And we didn't have any really bad days. Like it didn't rain all day, anything like that.
Yeah, the
Sunny
quick
and bright,
storms.
pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out of there, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Why do you think, because you and I got close on the trip, and why do you think that that is? Like, why do you think that on such a short time, like you can get, because I really didn't know you well prior to the trip. And then after, it's like, you're like my bro, you know? And how is it? We could say that about a whole slew of the people that went. So how does that happen in such a short time?
Good question. I feel like it's not like, I don't want to say this in a mean way, but we were kind of forced to be into that, you know, mindset, you
Right.
know? I mean, like obviously we weren't forced, we wanted to do it, you know, everybody wanted to join that trip and, you know, commit some time to do service and volunteering, but it's like you're in that mindset, you're in that space. So like you're just like a sponge, you know, just absorbing as much as you can. And we spent like pretty much every moment together, the whole group. And we had the opportunity to kind of reflect in the morning and also when we got back. So
Yeah.
us sharing how we felt during the day and a trip, you know, kind of brought everything full circle.
I
Like
think
for
so
example,
too.
we'd say like, oh, like I did this and I felt this way. And then someone else in the group would also say, oh, that's how I felt. I did this doing that. It was a complete different act, but them doing that had the same effect on two people or even three people. So it was kind of nice because like I felt like we were all like in one space, absorbing as much as we can, you know, learning as much as we can, but also kind of having similar experiences.
Yeah, it's a
Just way
great
to,
point.
build that bond, you know.
Yeah, it's such a great point because then when we did dissect it all, you can relate to that with other people and kind of almost take some of that on a little bit.
Yeah.
And just a quick side note, do you remember the size of the slugs that were on the deck when,
Yeah, they were huge.
like, oh, so I've never, I mean, the slugs I feel like that I see in Ohio are, I don't know, 4 inches or whatever, nothing. These slugs were, there were some that were foot long.
Gigantic, and it was insane. Oh my
That blew
gosh.
my mind. Yeah. It was
I
like,
was
you
just
didn't
like,
want to lose your,
wow.
yeah, you want to take your eyes off these slugs. Anyway, back to more prominent conversation E. The takeaway from that to me is that though we all have different experiences and though we all have such great had such great experiences there, like to be able to come back and dissect it and say that we all had similar takeaways with different with the same feeling is just kind of great. Like it's showing that when we do things with the intent of just kind of experiencing them as they are and kind of taking things at what they are, then we can grow ultimately.
Agree. I mean, it was like, and then having like our leaders, Rose, Calvin, the four ladies who service. So like, it was nice having someone else to lead us and kind of like push us a little bit towards kind of getting deeper into thought, like thinking about what we're actually doing, what how you feel about it, what you think you can do better, what you think you did good, so. It was nice having that little bit of leadership from
Spot on.
all those
Yeah.
people.
E, what are some of your takeaways? What would be like the biggest takeaway you have from your time in Jamaica, our time in Jamaica?
Because like in Jamaica, like I don't think I ever like woke up like, oh, I gotta wake up and do this. Oh, like I don't want to do this. I'd rather sleep in. Like I was like, ah, oh, let's go. I'm ready to seize the day. So kind of just thinking of the day. Is not just, oh, I just gotta go through this day and then I can relax. Kind of thinking of, I wanna have a good day. I wanna be happy that I have this opportunity to do what I wanna do. So kind of being more aware of the opportunities I have around me and the things that I have around me. Not just thinking, oh, this is just a regular day. I'm just doing this. Just being happy, I guess, more
Yeah,
present.
being happy. Yeah, being present. How do you do that? How do you go through your day and make it so that you're present, make it so that you're being happy? How do you actually do that?
So like me and you work every day. We have things to do, some jobs to do, but kind of like for me, when I start my job, I'm like, Monday. For me, I'm like I always start off the day as like happy Monday. I don't say like, oh, it's Monday again. Happy Monday, happy Tuesday, happy Wednesday, whatever. So like, and what I do first when I work is I like at my list to do, like items I need to get done today. So I do that, and then I'm like, oh, well, I have like this little window that I can do some stuff. So just ready to try to like just be positive. So I don't know, get my blood flowing. So I do like a couple push-ups or something like that since I'm home. But if it's nice outside, I go for a little walk, get some sun. People watch, so a little bit of that kind of
I can't
soak
beat
in
that.
what's around me.
Yeah. I feel like I'm be real, like all your be reals are usually you outside. So those
I
walks
like
are,
that's a great app.
yeah, no, it is a great app. Yeah. I can document, you've documented, and I can attest that you are on these walks. These aren't just hypothetical
Thank
walks
you.
for you. These do
Proof.
happen.
I'm not just
Proofs in
saying it, yeah.
the, yeah. Yeah. I got the receipts.
Exactly.
That's really great advice for us. Like, I think everyone can always use that reminder that even though some of the activities can become mundane or the scheduling can become mundane and monotonous, you got to do things that bring you life throughout life.
And like one cool thing my company does is we have like a fun fact day or whatever. So like I was paying one of the guys on my team like, so what's today's fun fact? He's like, oh, glad you hit it out, glad you hit me up, and then boom, talk a little bit about that.
That's great.
So just like little things that make the day a little bit better,
Yeah.
to be
And you know what's
vague,
cool is
just like
like
little things.
That guy takes it on and like is willing to do that. I think everyone's got something in their personality that can make life better for everyone else. And so I hope that we all don't let it be wasted potential and let it that gift be the good thing for someone else too. Like that's what makes the days great and special.
Yeah. And then also like one thing big about our meetings we have is we do a lot of you know, like soft, you know, getting into the meetings. So we like talk about our days, the weekend, what we did. And then we kind of, you know, lack of better word to say, but shoot the shit, you know. So
yeah,
getting comfortable around each other, not just going straight into like the agenda meeting, you know, doing this. So
it's kind of a nice little,
yeah. So be more personal, because you know, like no one wants to just go, oh, here's our agenda items. We're going to cover this. Hey, do you have this item ready for me to review? Blah blah blah. You know, so kind of just being more aware of how people feel. Just trying to get everybody in the same mindset.
I always say it, as long as we're not cogs in the system, then we're doing okay.
That's what I say, yeah. It's like, you know, just like being like this, always and always.
Right. Yeah, we're more than what we put out. Like, we're more than just the products that we produce, basically.
Yeah, 100%.
As you look for going forward, what are some of your goals and objectives that you want to achieve or do, or bucket list items or something like that? What does your future look like, or what would you hope it looks like?
I always like being in different places, you know, experiencing different cultures. And what I want to do more is I want to explore more, and then not like necessarily international, or even like anywhere crazy. It's like, you know, just going to Texas, seeing if people live over there, or Washington, you know, or even California, or even Canada, since we're so close. Just exploring more ways of life than the ones that I'm used to.
Yeah,
you know,
because Buffalo and Cleveland are also very similar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the same type of city, just one's bigger than the other. And then also, I want to do like, I want to learn like a skill, like a certain skill I could use for my enjoyment or entertainment, or just one like that'd be beneficial, like speaking a language or learning how to be a carpenter, or learning different knots, like tie knots,
yeah,
like a Eagle Scout or something like that, you know, like little things like that.
Yeah, it's so
just trying
true.
To make myself better, you know.
The more we add, then there's just more opportunities that we have, again, to influence other people too and to better our lives. So that's such a great one. Do you have an immediate skill you're thinking of? I know you listed a couple, but what are...
Yeah. It's been on my list for a while, but learning a language. I want to learn French.
Okay.
That's what I want to learn.
Why because French?
It's the second most spoken language in Rwanda. So
okay.
That way I can speak more to people like family and stuff, because it's a little bit disconnected, because they speak English a little bit and I speak Rwanda a little bit. So we have to kind of, like, you know, play charades a bit to kind of communicate with each other.
Yeah, a little Google Translate action. Yeah.
Exactly. So
that'd be awesome. Do they speak French then?
They do, yeah.
Okay, so that'd be awesome.
And that's like what I kind of like hate about, not hate about America, but like I wish we were more forced, not forced, to like speak another language, you know, because most kids in the world who speak two languages or one, or like one and a half. Like my little cousin, he's 12. He can speak English, French, and Rwanda. And I'm like, what have I been doing in my life?
That's just it. I feel like, I agree, dude. It's so weird that we don't. That's one of mine too. I'm very intrigued by Spanish because I had such a hard time with it growing up. I took it all throughout grade school, and I just don't know why. I don't know. I very much so struggled with it, and then rocked Latin in high school and college. Like, it made so much sense to me. So I figure now, hopefully, the Spanish will make sense when I go back. But yeah, it's so weird to not know another language, and I want to be able to, like, when you hear it, just know what's going on. I don't like feeling stupid, you know. And when you literally have no idea and can't comprehend anything, you feel like an idiot. So I don't know if that's selfish or whatever, but straight up, I don't want to be in the store hearing someone talking Spanish and not know what's going on, and so on and so forth with every language, but I'm just using Spanish as an example.
Yeah. What about you? Do you have anything you want to, you know, change or looking forward to?
Looking forward to keeping this podcast going. It's one of my big goals is to hit every Friday that new episode out. so far so good through 2023. It's going to be a great year for the show and just for that. It's my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing. So getting the exposure and hopefully continuing to put great guests on here like this. And just as an aside for anyone listening, if you want to be on the show, shoot me an email at chatswithclark@gmail.com. Subtle little ad there. Thanks, E. And yeah, so that's, I would say that's my most immediate thing that I'm looking forward to, in this case, continuing or staying on track with.
That's good. I'm glad you're, I mean, obviously 33 episodes, doing pretty good.
That's it. Yeah, this is episode 33. Man. E, you mentioned this is your, that was your number, right? Is it good?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like crazy. Meant to be. That was my basketball number when I was in middle school, 33.
Oh my God. When you were dropping 33 a game.
Yeah. I was the five. I was the center in my middle school team.
Are you serious? Were you always tall?
Yeah. I was always tall. Like, cause like I was tall when I was a kid. So I had an early growth spurt. So like everybody on my team is super short. I remember one game, kind of funny story. We were facing this really, like really good team. Like they were like by far way better than we did. It was St. Augustine, like this like basketball school in Buffalo. Remember the first like tip off went off, right? And I won the ball and our point guard had it. And then someone ripped the ball from him, right? And then I swear this 15-year-old kid dunked immediately, like the first point of the game.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. You're going to get smoked. And we lost the game like 75 to like 20.
The fact that you guys put up 20 sounds like it was a miracle.
Yeah. we got smoked. I think they kind of gave up. Like, we'll let them win, get some points. They put like their second stringers in and we're like, whatever.
Dude, it's such a good sport. Like, oh, God. I love basketball.
We got better, though. We got better. And then we faced them again later that year, and we only lost by 30. So,
okay. So we'll you made it better. It went from 55 to 30.
Improvement. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Improvement. Next thing you know, we'll you maybe get down by 10 or something and then call it a game.
I want to face them now. We'll see
if, go if back now.
They're even good enough now. Yeah.
See who's washed. The whole
team. Yeah. It was kind of funny because in high school, the kids who that school that beat me, mm-hmm. we went to the high school together, and the two twin brothers who were really good, they played the high school team. So, but it was nice. Of course. But yeah. They weren't as good as I remember when I was a kid. So
it's funny how some people peak.
Get as good. Yeah. You know,
people that are really good when they're young tend to, in my humble opinion, get complacent because then mm-hmm. like you've always been ahead as opposed to people who were always kind of like the underdog, then you're going to keep working. The underdog's always going to work. They're going to eat.
I agree. I totally agree.
And the kids on the top don't need to be. Yeah.
They get way too comfortable. That's what happens.
It is. Honest to God. I agree with you. Totally. And then the next thing you know, they're average. And you're like, wow, that kid faded out. And you're like, well, yeah, because they didn't work on it.
Exactly. They always thought they'd be like, you know, the top dog. But, you know, things change.
Yeah, if you're the top dog, there's always a target on your back too, you know? Everyone's exactly. moving up, so exactly. you better keep moving too.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
As we kind of get towards the end of the episode here, and again, I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us. I have a couple questions that I want to run by you. The first one is, do you have anything in your life that you look back and say that you regret?
Yeah, I always say this, but I'm not upset the way that my life ended or mm-hmm. the way it is right now, but I wish I tried more like during school, like, you know, like during when I was in high school, you know, I thought, oh, just study whatever classes.
And yeah.
I always thought the social aspect was more important than, you know, getting involved in different clubs or, you know, joining different things, meeting new people. So I was always mm-hmm. just get to school, get my stuff done. Get out, go hang with friends, do this, do that. And I feel like maybe I neglected certain relationships, like my family, you know, when I was younger. So, you know, sneaking out, doing stuff like that. So I wish I spent more time, you know, with less social aspects of high school and a little bit more building relationships, you know, meeting other people.
Yeah, I get that. It is such a... I agree with you on that one. I feel the same thing. It's such a tough thing to know at that time, but then you look back even just a short few years later and you're like, wow, I would even with the wisdom I have now, I would go back and do this a little differently.
Yeah, exactly. So that's like one thing I would definitely wish I could have done better on that. And then like, you know, there's like little mistakes that I made when I was a kid that I should have not made, but you know, I made those. So now I can learn from them. So I'm older now, but like little things like that, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of in that light, I contend that people who have gratitude on their hearts, that live a grateful life, that embody a grateful spirit, tend to be happier. Like, I just think that if you're grateful, you'll live happier as a person. What role does
Yeah, I agree.
gratitude, what role does gratitude play in your life, E? We can all hear from just the stories that you've shared and kind of this podcast episode here that you believe in it. So.
I would say I've experienced, I'm not gonna toot my own horn, but I've experienced I guess a lot more different things than the average person, I guess, would experience. So kind of like moving your whole life across to different continents, you know, it's, and then learning to accept what you have and then also building on what you have. So like everything that I have, you know, I'm not the type of person who like wants more, you know, but like I just want to be comfortable, you know. So I've learned to accept that the things that I have now are even like, you know, like I love people that I'm around, all the places that I live, things I can experience. My family, my friends, you know, people like you know, people that I can talk to, feel more comfortable around. And especially like even us going to Jamaica, having those experiences to see how other people live makes you appreciate what you have and not like take it for granted,
Absolutely.
you know. And
Absolutely.
like we always see, like might be a little bit bad, but you know, when we're like on Twitter or something or Instagram, like you see, oh, like fire destroys home, family, you know, or hurricane destroys, like the hurricane in Florida.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, that's horrible, you know, and then you just keep strong. Like, you like, whatever, keep strong. But I think for me, I've tried to be more aware and try to be understanding that I have all this life, you know, like I'm comfortable, I'm good. I could
Yeah.
take more if I want to, but I'm okay, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah. I had to have a conversation with someone one time and they were saying that when they see that kind of stuff on social media, they say a quick prayer. You know, like you pray for the people that are affected, you pray for the people that are going down and volunteering their time to hopefully make it better. You pray for the service men and women that are helping out, you know, and doing their part of it. I thought that was kind of a cool perspective because sadly it happens more often than we have time to commit to everything, and sometimes when you're just seeing it in passing, it's you just scroll next. But if you do that, at least you take a conscious effort to pray for them, offer up some love for the people that really are going through the ringer at that time. It's kind of a cool, I don't know, I thought it was a cool
I
idea.
agree. No, I like that because like that's what I need to try to get better on, you know, because having the social media aspect, you kind of just like whatever, like it's not really affecting me, but you should be, you know, trying to be respectful, you know, in some way.
Yeah, for sure. I love it. And E, my final question for you is if you have any piece of advice or anything that you wanted to share and kind of get off your heart, what would that be? You could direct it to the audience as a whole. You could direct it to a specific portion, just broadly, whatever you want.
Well, it might be too generic, but I guess if there's something in your life that you think you want to do or something you think you can't do, I don't think that's true. I think we all have the ability to chase what we want to be able to chase. And what I want to tell people, you, everybody who's listening, live your life with no regrets. I think there's some things that are better, like nothing. If like, you know, if you fail, you fail. Would you rather not know, or would you rather know? So I would say, if you want something, you want to try something, just do it. You'd
Just
rather
do
know you weren't able to do it or not. Speaking
it.
of, quick plug, I saw a trailer for the Nike movie today. Super cool.
Yeah. Really?
About how they got Jordan,
Yeah.
Michael Jordan, and like how he became, you know, the god of
Huge.
basketball, and then
Yeah,
Nike just took off.
the goat.
So,
Yeah.
quick plug.
That's great. Oh, I'm excited to check it out. I didn't even know that there was a trailer out for it.
It's like Matt Damon. Who else is in it? Chris Tucker. Who else? You'll take a look at it, but I think you'll
Yeah.
enjoy it.
Oh,
All
that's
right.
great. Yeah, thanks. That's good to know. That's awesome advice, man. That's excuse me. That's awesome advice. Like just doing it, going for it, putting yourself out there. You can't worry about the regret all the time. You can't worry about like the oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? And you get stuck in. Next thing you know, it's been years, and you get stuck in it, and then you don't develop any more confidence in doing it. You only convince yourself otherwise. So
Yeah, exactly. It's
that's
like being a
awesome.
top dog, get too comfortable. Like we just
Yeah,
said,
get too
you gotta
comfortable.
be underdog, gotta be hungry.
You gotta be
Always.
hungry, yeah. Because the dogs are gonna
Yeah.
eat. The dogs are going to eat,
Exactly.
as the saying
Dogs are
goes.
gonna eat. Yeah. I totally agree.
Dude, you're the best, man. I love catching up with you every time that we chop it up, as you said. That's a great phrase. Just
Always.
love that phrase. Yeah. I really appreciate
Always.
you taking the time too to come on here and just sharing some stories. We're gonna have to do this again. Get you on here for episode two. I'd love to keep talking with you and developing upon some ideas or whatever new ones come in the meantime. Until then,
Yeah, I love that, man.
be great. As he had mentioned, this is episode 33 of the Chats with Clark podcast already. We're coming at you each and every Friday, so make sure you hit that subscribe button. We don't do poppy intros, so you're going to hear that. Other than that, everything else is different content. I'm excited for you to be on the journey with us and to check out these episodes. There are 32 prior to this one, so if you're a newfound listener, have fun going through the listening experience of 33 fantastic episodes of the Chats with Clark podcast. This one was through a very special guest, E. Nakara. E, thanks again for being here. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and opening up with me and with our audience. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'm grateful to know you and to have you on the show.
Likewise, brother, man, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. It was great chopping it up. Hope we can do it again.
We will. We certainly will. So, everybody, again, hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Joe Clark. This is episode 33 of the Chats with Clark podcast. We're on all social media. So, check me out and check out E. I'll drop his information in the either the pinned comment if you're on YouTube or in the description below if you're listening on any of your podcast providers. Once again, this is episode 33. I'm your host, Joe Clark, signing off. Thanks for listening.